Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome B-Tech Smith and Steve Mex. B-Tech Smith and Steve Mex, you are now entering the Megacast. The Megacast.
Ted, we're still alive.
What up, Steve?
I can't believe we survived this past weekend.
It was a long one.
Yeah, today is the first day of the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I feel normal again.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't feel 100%. I'm like 70%. But Monday and Tuesday was like, Monday was like 50%. Tuesday was like 12%.
Yeah, Monday and Tuesday were tough.
Really hard.
Yeah.
We got messed up over the weekend.
We got messed up and we stretched it out a little bit longer too.
Yeah, we did.
You know, usually we're home kind of like, we're usually home by like 5 or 6 on Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
Right, because I thought usually go like have dinner with people.
Sometimes if we leave early enough, which is, I think we only pulled off once in the 7 years I've been going to Spokane for this hockey tournament. I think only once I was able to get back in time to get to my wife's family's house to enjoy dinner on Easter. Every other time, I've been pushing it, but it was the very first time. So I think that still that taste is still in their mouth. Like they still think I give it all, and I do. I try and make it there, but this year we got home the late. I think I got home pretty much. Got home and went straight to bed. It was like 9 o'clock.
Yeah, 8:30, 9 o'clock. Right. Yeah. I didn't get back up to Seattle. It's like 9:30, 10.
Yeah, and we spent the entire weekend in Spokane, and basically from the minute we got on the party bus at around 9 a.m. till the minute we got back at 9 p.m., so 9 a.m. on Friday morning and 9 p.m. on Sunday night, between those hours, we were completely annihilated for the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, right.
Wasted.
The trip started off, somebody gave us some marshmallow Rice Krispie treats.
Shout out to James from the Marijuana Depot.
Yeah, thanks,
yeah,
James.
The Marijuana Depot. I think it's in Lacey. I'm not positive, but look up Marijuana Depot. Go say hi to James. Tell him we heard about you guys in the Megacast and the donkeys. And
please do.
That guy hooked it up.
Yeah. It's some of those edibles, man. On the way over, that was insane.
Everybody enjoyed a little bit of an edible, and it was like old school edibles. It wasn't like your kind that you get at the pot shop. I think this was a homemade.
I think somebody had just made them or his friend made them. So he was like, here, I'll hook you up.
And he even said, these are very strong. And I still assumed, well, I could still. A little piece isn't going to hurt any of us. I mean, what would you say was the equivalent of? Like an Andes Mint? Maybe double two Andes Mints. That was about the thickness and the length of the sliver. And it messed everybody up.
Like picture the Rice Krispie treat you buy from the store.
Yeah.
You know what that size is. Now cut that into threes.
Yeah.
So those aren't huge pieces.
Yeah.
And that's basically what everybody had was just one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we had to go play a game. And the entire bus ride, like, it was funny to watch. Like, people were having their giggle fits. People are going through some serious paranoia. Like, Ted and I were convinced that our bus was going to fly off of the freeway, even though Rich was driving just fine. It was just in our head that we thought this was going to be a scene from early, mid-80s Metallica on tour.
Yeah, I mean, it was legit. Like, I was on the bus as we were going over the pass, trying to play it cool.
Right.
Right? And then afterwards, I just kind of look over at Steve. I go, was that sketchy at all? And you're like, yes. And I was like, all right. Now, keep in mind, folks. It was not sketchy at all.
No.
We were just that high that I legit was, like, worried.
Like, we couldn't even really see what Rich was doing on the road. Like, I mean, for all we know, maybe it was. But I'm positive it wasn't because he's a great bus driver. We couldn't see anything that would make us think that it was a bad trip or he was risking our life. But in my head, I'm like, how do I explain this to all the families? And then I'm like, well, I can't explain it because we're all going to be dead, but I'm going to be the reason why all of us died.
And
I got us the bus. I did this. We went here and none of us are coming home alive.
Yeah.
That's the crap that was going on in our heads. It was like intense overload of paranoia.
And Rich can thread that thing with a needle.
Yeah.
Like, he knows what he's doing. Because later that day, right, like, everybody kind of calms down. We get to Spokane, check in the hotel.
And then got
to
go play a hockey game.
You guys got to go play a hockey game, right? So, So what we had done different, right, was you guys got a locker room. So should we just get the push-ups out of the way?
You know, why don't we?
Yeah.
Because, we're just going to – there's going to be a lot about the Spokane tournament. We've got a lot of other stuff going on, but who knows if we'll get to that. But I feel like you guys are going to enjoy the experience that we went on because, honestly, before we hit the mics, I did not think we would be able to talk much about this trip. But as we start talking about it, I'm starting to remember other things. I completely blacked out for 3 days.
Well,
that's how wasted we were.
I don't want to say you completely blacked out.
All right.
But the whole thing is blurry.
It's a giant blur.
Right. So it helps having somebody else here to be like, no, remember this happened and that happened?
Yeah. So why don't we get things going? And I figured this is the perfect song for us to get 10. It kind of became the unofficial anthem of our time in Spokane. It's time to get 10, Mega Family. Yes, this is from The Wolf of Wall Street, but it's a remix done by Dimitri Vegasan and Like Mike, and it's called Hum. Get 10. Here we go.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed. Dial.
One.
Check the number and dial again.
I'm like, oh, this was it.
This was the theme. I could not remember for the life of me the name of this song. I'm like, so I finally text our boy Heaney, who was the guy who introduced that song to all of us, because somehow we started talking about The Wolf of Wall Street, and then he put it on the speakers. And I'm like, hey, man, what's the name of that Wolf of Wall Street EDM song? He's like, Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike, The Hum. And then he goes, haha, have you been just pounding your chest and humming it with no song on? I'm like, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, it was constant.
Tech Talks, starring B. Tech Smith.
Today's TED Talk, inspired by the weekend. Have fun with your friends.
We did.
Right? I'm like, not too much fun, but God, it was
fun.
Oh,
we did.
Yeah. We had too much fun. We had fun. And then the other thing I would say is, I'm not always the biggest fan of like going laser tag, but then when we do, it's always fun.
So much fun.
So sometimes when people want to do stuff and you're kind of dragging your feet, just go do it with your friends.
Yeah, when I think it was Munson who was like, let's do, because our Saturday game wasn't going to be until like 4:30 in the afternoon. So why don't we go play laser tag after lunch? And in my head, I'm thinking, I'd really like a nap. That's the last thing I want to do. Because let's rewind. Let's go back to Friday.
All right. So Friday.
We got a locker room that we could have and keep. Like, the way that the Classic works is obviously it's at two ice rinks that are in one building called the Eagles Ice Arena in Spokane. And they have, like, a crap ton of locker rooms. But they also have a couple locker rooms that are just, like, reserved for, like, there's a team called the Grinders. They, like, basically own the locker room. So they've got, like, a kegerator in there.
It's awesome.
Yeah, they've got it all set up.
Yeah.
And they also have a couple other locker rooms that they decided this year, they're like, we'll auction off, I think, two locker rooms that are like on the other side of the rink that are nicer than the usual ones. Whoever bids the most amount of money, and you put in your bid with your registration fee. So you don't know if you're going to win or not. So we decided, hey, $30 a pop, a couple bucks more. Let's bid $330.
All right.
And we lost the bid, but the team that came in second ended up bowing out of the tournament. So then we were the third highest bidder, and we got the locker room. We didn't get the biggest of the two. We got the smaller of the two, which turns out to be their women's hockey locker room. I would imagine that the Eagles women's hockey team uses. And
yeah.
So that was our locker room for the entire weekend. We never got kicked out. We had our own lock. I can't say the name of it because it's inappropriate.
You had hot showers.
We had hot showers.
Time.
Typically, you run out of hot water on the other side of the rink within, I'd say, by 3 p.m. If you have a game after 3 p.m., expect to take a cold shower because there's just so much hockey, so many people using the showers. Apparently, the women have their own hot water tank because we never lost hot water, and it was amazing.
Yeah, so you got a... All right, so like when they're playing on the ice, right? Like I'll just kind of run errands with Rich, the bus driver.
And shout out to Lion Pride Music.
Yeah.
Levi Lion and the whole crew. Rich, thank you for getting us to and from safely like you always do.
Yeah, so Rich and I, so there's a trailer that we got attached to with all the hockey equipment in it. But this year, because you guys have the locker room, we can ditch the trailer.
And keep all of our gear in the room.
Right.
We didn't have to bring it back to the hotel. We just left it on.
Just left it.
Yeah, and it was a warm locker room, so it dried it for us.
Right, so now picture... Hours before, Steve and I, way too stoned on these edibles, and think the bus is going to crash, right? So now you fast forward, And Rich and I are dropping it off at our buddy's girlfriend's house at Cindy's house. Mm-hmm. And there's like cars parked and everything. And I'm like, there's no way. And I mean, dude, he like, that's what I'm saying. He was threading needles to get that thing parked. It was unbelievable.
I've seen him back up. And there's no rear view mirror that you can work with. And just by using the side mirrors, that guy can park. He could basically fit a party bus in a Trader Joe's parking lot. And if anyone's been to a Trader Joe's parking lot, you know that's an accomplishment.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Yeah. So it was just crazy. So I was like, because at this point, like, I've had a few beers. So I'm a little drunk, but I've sobered up. And I'm just like, why was I so paranoid in this bus? Like, he obviously knows what he's doing.
Yeah. And he was great.
Oh,
always
awesome.
Great. So we get this locker room that we can keep the entire time. So that just adds to the, you know, you never feel rushed to get out. So you just sit there and you're drinking and you're hanging out and having, oh man, it was so much fun. So Friday night, then again, giant blur. I think you and I end up ditching.
We were like responsible. We were home by like 12:30 that night.
Right. We ditched the rest of the fellas because they wanted to keep drinking at the bars. And Ted and I were just like, let's just go back to the hotel and we'll just get more wasted there.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have any need to go into a bar. A, I'm not trying to holler at any chicks. And B, all the alcohol in the world is on our bus. Anything else you need is on the bus. The best sound system is on the bus.
Lasers.
I control the music on the bus.
Yeah.
I'm just hanging out there, and eventually people are hanging out, coming on the bus. You know, so it's constant flow of traffic coming on the bus and hanging out on the bus.
Yeah.
But we get back. I attempt to order a pizza. I, of course, waited very too late in the game. At 12, I think 57, I start calling Domino's and no one's answering. I'm like, this is messed up. And I look online and it's like, oh, they close at 2. No wonder why they're not answering.
Yeah, you're right. You should call like 3 minutes before. Yeah. I'm not even sure we were hungry. It just seemed like a good idea. Like, should we order a pizza? Like, yeah, we're hanging out. I guess we should.
I just thought maybe we'll be hungry in a half hour when it shows up.
Yeah, then it was like, we can't. And I was like, all right, I'm over that already.
And throughout the entire time while we're partying in the hotel, those guys are blowing us up on the cell phone, trying to get us to come back out and party with them because, well, it just so happened that they got the entire women's WSU swim team on the bus.
Yeah.
Getting drunk, pole dancing, doing all this crazy crap. And I didn't know until the next day when they started telling the story. And I'm like, wow, dude, good on you guys.
Either did I. I honestly was just so happy to be like back in the hotel sitting on a couch in my sweatpants. I was just old man in it.
We both put on our sweats.
Oh.
Put on some music and just BS'd for about 4 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's like, oh, wow, you guys went to bed early. I'm like, no, we were in our rooms. And mind you, Ted and I, we always try, and we've succeeded a few times. When we get to the hotel, we request adjoining doors.
Yeah.
And I've never put adjoining doors to use until you and I started doing this. And it's the greatest thing in the world because we could just kind of walk freely in and out of each other's rooms.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I have either.
Never.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
I know. I've always wondered, like, who wants adjoining doors? But right, if you know the people next door, it's great.
It's awesome. Especially, like, you know, and then at the end of the night, you just close your door and be like, have a good night, Ted.
Yeah. Right. So then we didn't have to get up early Saturday. Mm-hmm. I obviously didn't set an alarm because I missed you guys leaving.
Yeah, you missed breakfast, which I woke up at 10, and I'm like, I got to eat. I need to eat. Like, I hadn't, because we didn't have dinner. You and I chose to continue to drink and party on the bus and go get dinner at the Red Lion.
Yeah.
So I'm starving, and I'm like, all right, I'll send out a text to Munson and Ted, and then Munson gets back to me. Ted, radio silence.
Yeah.
Munson's like, I'm in. I'm like, great. So now I'm trying to get him to respond to when do you want to meet and where, and it takes an hour before I hear back from him, and that's when I hear back from the rest of the team. We want to do breakfast too. Great. So by the time we go get breakfast, it's lunchtime.
Yeah, I was just saying, I mean, you guys must have left right before I got up. I couldn't have missed you by that much.
We were probably 10 minutes into our commute to the restaurant by the time you texted and said, where are you guys going? I'll meet you there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. So so we get up. What is that bar called?
The bar that we ate breakfast or lunch? Swingin' Doors.
The Swingin' Doors.
Great food.
Yeah, I love that place.
Me too.
I told you, every time I go to Spokane, I end up in there.
Yeah, that's we did that place for breakfast last year as well.
Yeah, when I went out to an arena football game, we went there and drank.
That's like our early part of the day place to eat and drink, and then the Red Lion Barbecue is our late part of the day.
Yeah.
Like, we debate going elsewhere, but by the end of the conversation, we say, screw it. We tried like some place called Zola.
Yeah.
And it was too, like, not highfalutin, but it was like a nice fancier place, and there was no big tables.
No.
And we were running 12,
we had
13.
12 people. Right, like the Red Lion's perfect.
Right.
You can go to the back, you can get a table, you get food, like food everybody likes, beers, whatever.
And then, so Saturday, after we eat, we decide, let's go do laser tag. And
yeah,
what you weren't with us when it became donkeys versus anyone who's under the age of 8.
Okay. So I was up there when you guys first got that high ground.
Okay. Because we already declared when we were waiting, we realized, oh my gosh, it's going to be 10 of us and the rest of the people that are going in to play laser tag with us are all like 8 and 9. It's like an 8-year-old's birthday party.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm like, well, I guess we know who our enemies are.
Yeah, exactly.
The children.
Right. So you guys were up there, right? And as I was up there, like all four of you had gotten up there. And for whatever reason, I just went, I'm going to go keep walking around on the laser tag. Plus, it looks cool in there.
Oh, it's great. The music's going. They got the techno music, and we're feeling it. We're going,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we're at the top. And if you've ever been to the Spokane Laser Quest, there's like three floors practically, but they're all, you get to them by like walking these ramps. So we're at the top level, and we're just sniping people. And I ended up coming in second place overall out of 30 people.
Oh, yeah. I came in like almost dead last because I kept moving around and getting shot.
I think you were 30 out of 32.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. And Munson came in first, which was just like, of course.
Yeah, but Munson also at one point stood behind me and shot me like 5 times.
Yeah, I think he did that with all of us.
Yeah. So my point is, you guys were up on that high ground, right? So then I left. I went over to the other high ground on the other side, ran into Tacla. So that's where Munson shot. So then I was like, I wonder if those guys are still up there. So on the route to getting up there, I'm just getting shot left and right. But I'm not looking at the gun to see who shot me. So I thought it was you guys. And right. I get up there. It's not. It's the children.
The children went ape-ass on us.
Right. So then I walk past all of them. They all shoot me. And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to go back down the ramp. And I swear to God, a 7-year-old goes, hey, you come up here again, we're going to get you. And at that point, I kind of gave up. And I went, Ted, what are you doing with your life? It's 1 p.m. That 7-year-old legit is talking trash to you. And I have no children here. Just an adult in here.
Right. And I had a moment where I started trash talking a kid. And I'm like, stop it, Steve. This is not necessary. Because we're going and we're just taking these kids out. But they're like growing. They're like gremlins. Someone's pouring water on them. And they're just like multiplying. And I'm like, son of a bitch, keep shooting them. And they're getting closer. And I'm like, I can't handle this. Please, somebody get it. And we're like shooting.
Yeah.
Okay, let me turn this music off and get a little too pumped. And then all of a sudden, they just took us over, and we were like, we got to retreat. We can't handle this. We're being overwhelmed by 8-year-olds.
And they have small little targets. Right. I'm just walking around like a giant target getting shot all the time.
Right. So now I'm down on the end, and it's me, and I think Zach, and Munson, whoever it is, and J-Mac, and I take out a kid. And then I was about to take out this other kid. He goes, no, can I be on your team? And I'm like, yeah, sure. We could have a couple kids on our team. I'm like, let's go. So now we're like following. We got them. And then all of a sudden I get hit. And I'm turning around. I'm like, it's that kid.
Oh.
And I look at him and go, you mother. And I almost called him the F word.
Steve, and that's one of the rules. No foul language in there.
I understand. And I did read and recite the rules. And I looked at him and I go, you mother will not be happy with you.
Good tongue break.
And then I made it my point to take him out. I was hiding and just sniping this kid. And I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I getting so aggressive towards these children?
I like that. You got aggressive with them. I just gave up and went, all right, whatever. This kid, my life's falling apart. This kid's yelling at me.
So much fun. We had a great time. And shout out to Ashley, one of our mega babes.
Oh, yeah.
Got to hang out with her. Apologies at first. I was so wasted. I guess I came off rather standoffish at first. That was just because I wanted to get out of the bar and get back on the bus and veg out.
Yeah.
And thankfully, her and her mom and her boyfriend eventually ended up on the bus.
Yeah, we ran into him in that crosswalk.
I'm so glad that happened because then we got to hang out and BS, and all three of them were super great people.
Yeah, everybody
and
had fun.
I felt awful that I came off a certain way, and I didn't mean to, and I'm glad that she called me on it, because I would have felt terrible if we came back to Seattle and then I get like a Snapchat message like, you were a real jerk to me, my boyfriend, and my mom. I'm like, I'm sorry. So we had a great time. I mean, they wound up hanging out on the bus for like a couple of hours. It was awesome. So when we get back, I don't know, we might have more stories from the classic. If not, I've got a great piece of audio from our boy, Rob Gronkowski.
Oh, is that from today?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that.
Gronk rules at the White House when the MegaCast returns.
Don't stress out. The MegaCast will be back.
Wish we could turn back time to the good old days when the
Just when you thought there couldn't be any new coffee drinks, Starbucks introduces new Unicorn Frappuccino. And it must be magic, because they've gone from plain black coffee to somehow sicken your senses with this pink and blue concoction. Some say it's sprinkled with unicorn horn dust. Of course, they had just left Coachella. And if you love the new unicorn drink, you're gonna love what's next. The Bigfoot Mud Stomp, made with the darkest beans and darkest chocolate. Mmm, that's muddy. And coming soon, the Loch Ness Monster Coffee. 72 ounces of unroasted green coffee beans ground into a fine powder, then brewed with a white whip swirl on the top. And what's that green thing that pops up occasionally? We can't tell you, but it's different in each state. So try the new specialty drinks that will make you think, hey, why didn't I just get a coffee?
Never stop.
These two guys are all about the hustle.
All money you got.
After all, Tech has proclaimed it, the year of the hustle.
You still got hustle.
The mega cast is back.
I got hustling on my resume. And you never ever read a hustler say that he don't want to hustle no more.
I've learned quickly that when I'm wasted, all I want to do is listen to just bass-heavy hip-hop.
Yeah. I did like Saturday night chilling in your room just listening to the new Kendrick.
Oh, what a great listening party.
Yeah.
Granted, we were really...
I think it's the impression that we were drunk and stuff all weekend.
If we say we were really sober, that's the only... Otherwise, just assume we were completely out of our mind wasted. But yeah, you're right. The new Kendrick, and I listened to it yesterday while I was vacuuming the house and doing some chores. And
nice.
And it's just as good sober as it was when we were inebriated.
Did you see he gave us a shout out?
Kendrick did?
Yeah.
No.
Talking about being fancy, like Grey Poupon. TED Talks.
Boom.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people think he's talking about the other TED Talks.
No, he's listening to the
Megacast. Real TED Talks. Ted Smith TED Talk.
Well, he would then be very concerned to hear that we almost lost the Ted Smith on the bus ride back to Seattle. We almost lost a couple of donkeys this past weekend, and you scared the entire team because I missed this. I was dozing off on the way back to Seattle from Spokane. It's a long trip. It's like, you know, several hours. And all of a sudden, I wake up to J-Mac slamming my leg, like, wake up, wake up, wake up. And I look up, and Ted Smith is out cold. Like, the way the bus is, the seating is around the bus. It's not like, you know, like a school bus. It's just kind of like whatever.
Right, around the perimeter.
Yeah.
So when you're sitting there facing somebody.
Right. And you know, we were in the medium-sized bus, so it wasn't the big one. So we were not crammed, but we were definitely, like, facing each other. Like, there wasn't a lot of room to, like, spread out.
Yeah.
And I look up, and there's Ted still sitting and just crouched over with his head resting on our buddy Gibbs's knee. And yeah. You're out.
Yeah, I'm asleep.
And everyone's turning pale white, like, did Ted just die? Because you were... Ted was... He says he was asleep, but here's the thing. You don't usually fall asleep while you're mid-sentence. You passed out, and I guess I wasn't there to witness... Well, I was there, but I wasn't awake. But according to them, you were talking, and you just hunched over and passed out on another dude's knee.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I just kind of woke up from a nap and everybody's like, you all right? I was like, yeah, I just went to sleep for a second.
And Ted had this look of pure, you know what it looked like? You look like how I look when I come through after passing out. I think you just passed out. I think your body just shut down.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a few of our guys on our team texted me and like, hey man, keep tabs on Ted and let us know. Is he kind of scared us? You know, they were all giving you
it
crap.
Scared me, right? I mean, I honestly, I just went to sleep. God, man.
No, you passed out, Ted. You didn't go to sleep.
Yeah.
You passed out. You fainted.
Yeah.
I understand it. Ted was wasted.
Yeah, like, I don't know what to say here, man. Like, it wasn't fun.
Your fall wasn't nearly as bad as our boy Zach's.
No.
Zach, one of the donkeys.
Yeah.
Again, this is Saturday night, Sunday morning. 2 a.m.? No, it had to be close to 3. Because
for him, yeah.
Because we were on the bus until 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and then went to the hotel, and everybody that was still willing to keep partying went to my room, and we just hung out, listened to music, and kept drinking and doing and being stupid.
Yeah.
And so while we're just hanging out, my door is open, and there was a nice little view. Like, we were on the first floor.
Right on the river.
You could just walk right out, and you see the river.
Yeah, it's great. Spokane River.
So I'm looking out, and all of a sudden, I see this blur that is our boy Zach coming from, like, the left side, and just, he's got his phone in front of him, so he's clearly, like, walking rather frantically, I think, trying to find our hotel room. Because, like, we were kind of in the corner, so you work the corner on the outside, and then you'll come to where our back sliding glass doors are. And he just bites it hard.
I thought he fell from the second balcony.
Right. Ted was convinced he fell from the second balcony. One guy was convinced he died. Like, right, everybody was freaking out.
Yeah, right. I guess the same thing happened. Like, he just kind of passed it. But, like, I didn't see him walk over. It was just like this body just fell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was coming very fast. And I think when he wasn't paying attention to what was in front of him, he tripped on something and just face planted and knocked his head on the dirt or on the pavement. I'm not even sure. And so at first people were trying to pick him up, and he's like a dead fish. And I'm wasted. I'm like, what do we do? I mean, this is not good. Troubleshooting-wise, I don't know what to do at this point. Like, is he okay? And everyone's like, oh, he's going to be fine. I'm like, he is not moving. Like, nobody can pick him up. He's dead weight. And I'm like, this is going to put a massive damper on the rest of the weekend.
Massive damper.
Eventually, he works his way up. He gets up. Now he's like a freaking zombie. He's like covered in dirt. Walks into my room, and we're like, Zach, you should go to bed. So somebody walks into his room, which is on the other end of the building.
That was the other thing I remember, was that he fell, and then it was like panic for a while.
Yeah.
Then he's all right, right? I remember you being like, he can't stay here, man.
No.
Like, he's got to go.
He needs to go to bed.
Yeah.
Like, he's in no shape. He just nearly knocked himself out.
Yeah.
So he goes, everything's cool. We're hanging out. 20 minutes goes by, barreling through my door. Is Zach like a freaking zombie?
He was back.
He was back, and he was 100% again.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's the
same. For a drunk guy.
Yeah, I guess same thing for. I mean, look, at the end of the day, folks, you got to drink water and you got to eat food.
Two things that we did not do.
No, because like on Sunday, after I, as I say, fell asleep for a minute,
fainted.
Right. I think it was like shortly, like 20 minutes after that, I was like, hey, Rich, can we got to stop and get some food, man. Like, I'm dying back here.
Which is a great call. I got 20 pieces of chicken, of Burger King tenders, and a soft serve vanilla ice cream cone.
Yeah. And Cindy had made us this awesome Easter dinner, but it's 12 dudes picking out a ham.
Right.
Well, plus, so it's like 13, 14 people.
Yeah. Our teammate Q Ray, his girlfriend, Cindy, who lives in Spokane.
Yeah.
Cooked up an insane Easter dinner and brought it to our locker room.
Yeah.
So now we're just eating like cavemen in the locker room. It was amazing.
Yeah. But I mean, right, like that wasn't a ton of food. So like,
no.
Yeah, like, right. Like, I mean, it's just like, we got people passing out on the bus. We got people passing out the night before. The other funny story is after Zach falls, right, everybody else kind of leaves. And then it's just like me, you, Munson. Who else was in there? Probably J-Mac,
yeah.
So Munson keeps falling asleep on the bed, right?
Right.
And I'm having so much fun with it. I keep going, Munson, you're not falling asleep, are you? Whatever. I mean, giving him the hardest time.
Yeah.
So finally he gets up and he's like, I'm going to bed. And I think I even said something smart ass. Like,
oh,
yeah.
you were clowning on him the entire time.
Right, just giving it to him. He walks out of the door, and I mean, it couldn't even been a minute later. I was asleep on your couch.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was like, Ted. I let you sleep for a second, and I'm like, no. No. And it wasn't like, I don't mind if it was like, if you were like sharing a room with somebody. I'm like, there's no way Ted wants to sleep on this couch when 15 steps away from this couch is his bed.
It's his actual bed.
So I'm like, Ted, I kind of hit you a couple of times. I'm like, get up. And you're like, oh, I'm like, go to bed, man. And you're like, oh, did I pass out? I'm like, yeah, your bed's right there, man. You don't want to sleep on this couch. You can't even stretch your legs out.
Yeah.
Like, you were, like, curled up like a little, like, fetus.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was in the fetal position.
Yeah. Yeah, that too.
Well, it was funny because I was making fun of Munson, and then I remember he left, and it was like, you know when you're, like, real tired and you're kind of dozing off, but you fight it?
Mm-hmm.
So I remember that happening a couple times, and I just remember you being like, hey, man, your bed's over there. And I was like, all right.
And this is, like, 5:15 in the morning.
Yeah, right. I mean, it was freaking late.
Yeah. I mean, I'm getting a text from my wife saying good morning as I'm going to bed. And it was, like, that debate of, do I text her back right now? But if I don't, I knew we had to get up early the next day because we had a game at 10:30.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll text her back right now. She's like, what are you doing up? And I was like, I don't have the heart to tell her I've been up all night. Like,
no.
I know she's going to be mad at me. Not like angry mad, but like what are you doing? You have a game to play. You should get some rest. So I was like, oh, I had to go pee. That's why I heard your text. I'm going right back to bed. And then I went to bed, woke up in a panic. Everyone woke up in a panic because, well, we had 30 minutes to get to the rink. And our game was like right after, in about 35, 40 minutes. And I'm like, geez, the rink is like 20 minutes away. There's no way I'm going to be able to get all my gear on. It was just like everybody's scrambling. And there's nothing better than trying to check out, pack, and get on the bus in time to play a game when you have X amount of minutes to do it. There was no like, oh, we can just take our time. It's like, no, we got to start running.
I know. That's why when I called you, you were like, we got to go. I was like, just go.
Yeah, because you were like, I'm almost ready. I'm like, and honestly, I got out there. They had the warm-ups. Usually get 5-minute warm-ups. So I was like, okay, we had the extra 5 minutes to it. I got on the ice with a minute left in the warm-ups.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
How tough was that game?
It was impossible. I thought I was going to pass out the entire time. Like, that was the only game I played sober, and that was my worst game. It was so bad. I was like I let in a goal, and I just watched it. And I talked about it on the Migscast. It was pretty funny that the guy's on the far end of the corner of my zone, and he shoots it. And the whole time in my head, I'm like, that's not going to hit me. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, my God, it's going to hit me. I'm like, that's not going to go in. Then it goes in, and I'm like, well, I'm that guy. Granted, it was the 7th of 9 goals, and we lost 9-1.
Yeah. But, I mean, I just know just going to pick up the trailer and just barely moving that thing seemed like a struggle. That's, I was like, I don't know how they're playing hockey right now.
I actually had to think in my head. A couple times I went down on my knees because I'm like, if I stand any longer, I'm going to pass out, and that might be awkward.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too, is that we're giant idiots for that. We didn't have to be up Saturday morning, but yet Friday night, for Spokane, went to bed at a normal time.
Yeah, 3 in the morning, 3:30.
We got to be up Sunday morning, so Saturday, let's rage as late as we can.
Let's stay up until we pass out at 5:15.
Yeah.
Genius. I mentioned Rob Gronkowski. He's doing crazy things. Rob Gronkowski would be a great addition to the Donkeys. Don't you think?
He would be.
Yeah, like just put him on the bus.
But do we need somebody more insane than us already?
Yes.
I mean, listen to this segment we just did, right? We thought Zach died. We thought Ted might have died on the bus ride home.
And we're looking back on the trip like, I can't wait till next Easter.
Oh, I'm not there yet.
Oh, I'm already. The countdown has begun.
Has it?
I'm glad that Easter comes even earlier next year, so it's less than a year away.
You already looked up what Easter is.
I did.
I was like, all right, I got to chill out for a while before August and the summer stuff, or till Pain in the Grass in June. Steve's already looking up when Easter is next year.
Best part, we're all on a group text to all the Donkeys, and we're all like, I'm hungover. I haven't moved from my couch. I've been hurting. Munson, I haven't stopped drinking. I'm afraid if I stop drinking, the hangover will be a real bitch.
Right, because I texted you guys on Monday. Yep. I went to lunch, had lunch, like 2 or 3 beers, right? And I was like, I
watched the Capitals, unfortunately, lose in overtime.
They did.
That was a tough one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what happened. I fell asleep. They were winning. I woke up, and it was like the start of overtime. And I was like, you got to be kidding me.
So, yeah, you and I are doing what we can to recover. And then Munson's like, I'm just getting drunk.
But Munson was right. Because I had those 3 beers at lunch, and I was like, all right, I don't feel that bad. When I woke up from that nap, number one, I felt awful. The full hangover had sunk in. And number two, the Caps choked. And I was just like, literally, I mean, this was like at what, 6 in the evening? I was like, I'm going to take another nap. I told somebody, goes, what'd you do on Monday? I go, I pooped a lot and napped a lot.
It pretty much sums up mine. I think you probably summed up all the Donkeys.
Yeah.
I think Jay had to work. I'm like, you're crazy, man.
Did he go to work?
Yeah. Like, you're an idiot, man. Take the damn day off.
Yeah, I mean, some years, maybe if we're back in town by 5 or 6, but no. I mean, that was late.
I will never work on a Monday after the Classic again, especially how I felt this past one.
Yeah, it would have been brutal.
Oh, I would have passed out on the air, which could have been funny.
Could have been.
For everyone but me. So, Gronk, today is a big day for the New England Patriots that they went to the White House.
Yeah.
Because they won the Super Bowl. And Gronk, of course, was there doing Gronk things once again. And look, I don't care what your political opinion is about Trump, whoever. This is a funny clip, and it involves Sean Spicer, who is part of course, Trump's team.
Spice Man.
The Spice Man. That's right. And while he's a press secretary, he's doing some kind of a speech.
I mean, every day, right? The press secretary goes out there and gives a briefing.
Right. And more often than not, he's putting his foot in his mouth. But this time around, he got interrupted. And who did he get interrupted by? Number 87 for the New England Patriots, Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
You want to hear the audio?
Oh, I was going to say, we should also mention, too, that Spice Man is a massive Pats fan.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, so he probably was geeking out about the Pats being there.
Oh, yeah. Like, he is a massive Patriots fan.
Another reason why I don't like that guy. Well, anyway, so he's talking. All of a sudden, opening up a door behind him or like a curtain is Rob Gronkowski being like, hey, what's up, man?
Yeah, and nobody should be opening that door except like the defense secretary or like President Trump.
And Gronk.
Yeah.
Only person that could get away. I don't even think Tom Brady could get away with doing that.
Yeah.
Like, it just, Gronk doing it. Honestly, I think if Gronk grabs like another man's woman's ass, that guy would probably be like, Gronk, you're just so, you're hilarious.
Yeah, and he's so physically big. What are you going to tell him?
So here's how it all went down.
Can I just
need some help?
There's
Gronk. That's Gronk.
Going, you need some help. Like, he's peeking his head out.
Yeah.
Need some help?
I think I got this, but thank you. Maybe. All right, thanks, man. I'll see you in a minute. Hold on. All right, that was cool.
He turned into a 15-year-old. That was cool.
I know, man. There's so much weird stuff. And did Gronk say, I like you?
I don't know.
At the end? Is that his last comment? Like, all right, I like you.
All right, let me pull it back and let's see.
Need some help?
I think I got this, but thank you. Maybe. All right, thanks, man. I'll see you in a minute.
It sounds like he goes, I like you.
Doesn't it? Or is he just like, all right, dude?
Oh, maybe.
Maybe. I thought the first time I heard he was saying, all right.
All right, dude seems more believable.
All right, thanks, man.
It sounds like Billy Bob and Sling Blade. I like you.
I like you. Mm-hmm. French fried potatoes.
I like you.
Maybe.
I like you.
All right, thanks, man.
Or I lick you.
Honestly, all right, thanks, man. And you're right, like, I don't know. Just the, when he just goes, oh, that was cool.
Yeah.
It's just like, man, I know it is. I know you're a fan of his. It just, I don't, the whole thing is just weird.
That's something that you and I, who are not politicians, would say.
Right, like if Gronk bust into our studio, that's one thing.
But yeah, like when Ice Cube busted in and surprised you on the men's room, I can understand why you were like, that was cool.
Right, but it's like he's busting into the press secretary. I don't know what's going on there anymore.
I like you. Right? I like you too. It's funny. Speaking of politics, I mean, well, obviously, I know people have, they hear the word Trump and they just start, their butt puckers up, whether it be for the fact that you hate that we're talking about him or that you hate the person. But I just thought this was so insane. An Oregon woman. Did you hear about what happened with this Oregon woman and her dying ex-husband?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So she wanted to, and this is kind of cool. Like, it's not often that you hear, it's a beautiful story of two people who are no longer together, but can still be amicable amongst each other. So all the husband that she's no longer with, they broke up. More often than not, you expect, okay, well, they're going to just hate each other. But no, she still has nothing but love for him in her heart. And apparently, she wanted to make sure he had a peaceful death. So, and he's been like super anti-Donald Trump. So right before he died, his ex-wife told him, quote, Donald Trump has been impeached. And this is according to the obituary. And then the obituary continued by saying, upon hearing that, he took his final gentle breath, his earthly work concluded, and he passed away. Like, it was almost like that moment brought him peace that he could die knowing that Donald Trump is no longer the president.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it, right? If the guy doesn't like Trump, he's dying, you say something to make him feel better. I just don't know why it's such a big story.
I think it's because it's interesting. And how often?
I would think you'd say stuff to somebody dying all the time that might not be super truthful. Or if they have like dementia or something.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I guess like maybe you would say like, yeah, don't worry, Bobby scored a 1600 on his SATs. Oh, good. I can die in peace.
Yeah.
Not very often, I think, though, someone has to tell this person who's dying that the president of his country
got impeached
in order for him to leave and go to the afterlife with a smile on his face.
Yeah.
It's pretty extreme.
It is extreme. I don't know. I just don't see a win for either side in this one.
Yeah.
So, like, the more you see it circulated, obviously, on social media, like, people that hate Trump are going to jump on and be like, see, like, this and that, like, I don't know. I just feel like this trouble, like, this story's just trouble for everybody.
You know what it is? Is we can't just take a story and enjoy the story for what it is. Not
actually, you're right.
We're not enjoying the guy that died, of course. But
no, but like, right, it's hard. Like, I looked at that story, I'm just like, oh, God, why is this a story? This is going to have people all fired up now.
What we're fearful of, and I think you probably experienced this when you guys are doing the men's room, if ever the conversation of Trump comes up or Russia or North Korea, it's not so much that, like, I have no problem talking about any of that stuff. None of it bothers me, whether or not you're a Trump supporter or you're 100% opposed to the point where you need to die knowing he was impeached.
Yeah.
I can have a conversation with somebody. I just don't want to deal with the reaction of the texts, the emails, the people who just refuse to listen to a story that maybe they don't agree with, or they just, people just, they hear that name and they just want to act like it doesn't exist anymore. And it's like, well, we can't tell interesting stories and tell jokes.
Yeah. I mean, look, I do a TV segment every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Bill O'Reilly is in the news.
Oh yeah.
So I was talking about it last week and some guy emailed and was like, Ted was talking all fast and loose about Bill O'Reilly and this and that. Like, actually I'm not, man. Like, I'm just repeat, like, he's a news, he's on the TV.
Right.
They've paid out millions in settlements. Like, I get that you like the right, and maybe you're a Bill O'Reilly fan, but, like, this isn't me talking S on the dude. Like, and, like, today we find out, like, they're going to fire him.
Yeah, yeah, like, I think they already did.
Right, but just the guy was so fired up, and it was just, like, relax. I had an email today, a guy was, like, talking about Cole. It's like, look, I didn't say anything out of line. The Cole Museum is run by solar power. Like, mm-hmm. Coal is a dying thing. I'm sorry. I get that China's stopping coal and, oh, it's going to be great for America, but it's a dying thing. It literally is a freaking fossil fuel. Like, there's only so many of them. Like,
say that three times fast, Ted.
Right? So I'm just like, calm down. It's okay.
Before,
like,
we get knee jerk, just listen.
Right.
Right.
There's plenty of jobs that'll come on, you know, but it's just like, relax, dude. You know, I read stuff about people I like in politics all the time and go, all right, well, I don't agree with that guy's view on it.
Right. I'm not going to side with anyone just because they fit whatever I don't have a party line. But if I did, like, I'm not going to just blindly support, defend, or hate another party just because they don't, you know, because they're not a Democrat or a Republican. It just seems so ridiculous that people, it's like people are acting like they're in a gang. And,
yeah,
like, you know, whether or not your gang member could have done something rather questionable, but you will defend them till he's dead. And it's like, I don't really work that way. Like, if somebody did something stupid, I'm going to bring it up, including if I do something stupid. I don't expect people to just blindly support what I say and do. Like,
right.
We're humans, man. We all make mistakes. We all do stupid things. We all do great things. But to just blindly side with someone because they have a D or an R attached to them is so ridiculous.
Yeah.
And to get mad at somebody for talking about the person that you love because, well, here's an interesting story about a dying man who would like to go to his deathbed knowing that the president is not our president anymore. I find that fascinating.
Yeah. And what's her name? What's it? Tommy Lahren or whatever?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, she's just a prime example. First of all, she really, like, she's just an attractive student that wanted to get a job in media.
Yeah.
Right? Like, she used to do a college show, this and that. Like, there was very nothing special about her, but she just talked so much trash and talked it angrily. She says what we want, this and that.
Right. She's sharp.
Right, she's honest.
Yeah.
And then she said she was pro-choice.
That
I got
bitch.
Rid of her. Right? And I'm just like, whoa, this was your girl. This was the person you loved. And it's all about talking tough and we don't play by the rules. Not right. We don't play by the rules, but, like, we don't want your PC crap.
Right. She says what she thinks.
And then you PC'd the crap out of her and went, well, that doesn't agree with us. You're out.
Yeah, go after yourself, blondie. You dumb nut, whatever, numbskull.
Yeah.
You dimwit.
It's almost
as stupid. Of course,
a
stupid blonde chick saying something like that.
Right. And on the other side, it's as stupid as the Democrats having a guy like Bernie, who had thousands of people at his rally and went, nah, we're going to take another goddamn Clinton that nobody likes, even our party. Yeah, good call. This is working great for everybody. And then there's just normal people like us stuck in the middle. Like, does it make me the worst human? Is I want to be a social Democrat and a fiscal Republican? Forbid. Gays get married, and I have some money in savings.
Preach on, V10 Smith.
Sorry, I'm getting worked up.
I love the Tommy analogy. It's great.
Right?
You're 100% right.
That was the whole thing. She says what she thinks. You guys should just respect her for that.
All my, like, super conservative friends shared her videos all the
constantly.
Time. She's making all the sense in the world. This is the future. I love this girl. Not only is she hot, but she's smart, and she says what she thinks, and she what? She believes that a woman should have her own choice?
The gall of a woman to speak on a woman's issue.
Witch hunt!
Yeah. That's why I kind of like that congresswoman in Texas that was just like, all right, you want to regulate what women do with their bodies, you guys can't masturbate anymore. Right? I was just like, I get her point.
All right, why don't we take a quick break? We'll be right back when the MegaCast returns.
No need to revolt. The MegaCast with Ted and Steve will be back.
You got the sway, you got the soul. You felt the pain, you felt the love. You can't crawl.
By now, you know that over the weekend, April the giraffe had her baby. However, zoo officials have ended the live video stream after April suffered a minor leg injury. The birth of April's baby was witnessed online by millions. If you, too, were cheering April on, you now belong to a select group called Watching April, Sharing the Excitement of the Incredible Maternity Experience, otherwise known as Waste of Time. As an official member of Waste of Time, you will have contributed to a financial decline in workplace productivity all across America, as deadlines were ignored, meetings delayed, and projects unfinished, as a baby giraffe came out of its mother's rear end one leg at a time. In fact, Google says April's hindquarters have been viewed even more times than Kim Kardashian's. So congratulations, Waste of Time member, and get your mouse-clicking finger ready for the birth of a baby giant sloth. And bonus, it's a breach at the Cincinnati Zoo, coming soon in 3D.
Hey, this song is my gen 2. It's hot as f***. The Megacast is back.
Oh, timer done.
Timer's.
All right, we got to go.
Time's up.
Hey, good time, everybody. Thanks for listening. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Ted, this might be a weird question, but I'm going to ask it. Do you remember or can you tell us and share with us the worst time that you've ever been hit in the testicles?
Ooh.
Do you remember the last time you got hit in the balls?
Man, I don't.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you played soccer. Didn't you get hit in the nads a couple times, like making a save? Maybe not. Maybe you're just better at your angles than I am. Because I think about like just 2 weeks ago, I got hit pretty hard.
Yeah, like, I was just thinking, sure. But I feel like it's more more apt with a puck than it is a soccer ball.
And a couple of my friends purposely aim for the balls when they shoot.
Like, yeah, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Playing indoor soccer, I've taken a lot of ricochets off my head.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm trying to think. I don't know. I guess I haven't had a good crotch shot in a while.
Well, we could fix that.
No, we don't. See, we do not need
summer meltdown.
That. Yeah.
We are kicking Ted in the balls.
I feel like the last couple I've had that kind of sucked were just grazers.
Oh, those are sometimes worse than the full-on kick.
Yeah, like a sack tap?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's so sharp. It's the worst pain. Like, ladies, I don't know what to compare. I know some people are like, it's like pregnancy. It's impossible for me to compare it to pregnancy. I don't know what pregnancy is like. I know what it feels like to look like a pregnant woman. That's me every day. But I have no idea what it's like to be pregnant. But it's the worst pain. It's like getting punched in the gut with a knife.
Yeah, it sucks.
It's terrible.
Maybe a small dog stepping on him.
Mm, yeah.
Lulu's not big enough.
No.
But there's definitely, I remember other dogs being like, oh.
Lulu was very happy to see Ted this past weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Thursday night.
Pee.
Yeah, because the minute she saw Ted, she was so happy she peed the floor.
Yeah.
And then we went and got Trappers. It was great.
Oh, dude, that Trappers was so good that night.
We crushed. We did all you can eat at the Puyallup Trappers, and shout out to the entire crew there. The guy who was our sushi chef,
Morgan?
I can't remember. I think he might, or Colton, or
yeah,
Morgan.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
Once he like got comfortable with us and realized, oh, we're ordering a lot of food and we're in good spirits, then he started making his own concoctions.
Yeah.
And it stopped. He made a roll that's better than anything that was on the menu.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. It was so good. But I bring up the testicle story because I don't know if you saw the video of this guy that works for the New York Mets as a beer vendor. He was doing his job, like, I think kind of towards the left field, third base area. You know, working the aisle, selling the beer, and while he's doing it, somebody just crushes the ball, the baseball, line drive, square in the testes.
No!
We have the audio.
All right,
so here, check it out.
Well, the Phillies in the fourth, and that's drilled foul, 0-2.
Well, I'm trying to
Russell was such a great story, wasn't he, for the Phillies last year?
Now, you'll notice, like, they're still talking after the foul ball. They have no idea at first what happened, but the camera is still on this guy who's now hunched over.
Well, because you do hear the crack, and you hear everybody kind of go, oh.
Right, because the baseball hit his baseball. All right, he'll bring it back.
Well, Joseph was such a great story, wasn't he, for the Phillies last year?
Beer guy took the brunt of that foul ball.
Beer guy took the brunt of that foul ball.
Oh.
I missed that.
Yeah, I mean, I remember in baseball getting hit a few times.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you didn't wear a cup when you played baseball? I know. I guess a lot of baseball players don't.
Like, when I was a little kid, I always wore a cup because I would catch. But, like, when I played first base, nah, I wore a cup. But there was definitely, I guess I didn't wear it all the time. Because I remember getting hit in the junk before.
Dude, one of the craziest things, I think we've talked with Luke about it, Luke Wilson from the Seahawks and other players in the past. A lot of football players do not wear cups.
Football was the crazy one. Like, that blew me away when I got to high school, and there was, like, I had never played football before high school, and I only played a couple years in high school, but, like, it amazed me, like, I felt like I was the only guy wearing a cup.
I don't get that. Even, like, in hockey, most of the guys wear cups, because, you know, you got the hockey pants, and there's a place to put the cup. Our boy Munson refuses to wear a cup, and I remember one time, we're just screwing around playing, like, a drop-in hockey where, you know, you break off into two squads, and you just start playing a game and keep score and all that crap. He's coming down on a breakaway, and this is when I've learned that Munson does not wear a cup because he had like a tear in his hockey pants. And as he's coming on the breakaway, he starts stick handling with one hand and pulls his hockey pants where the rip is. And just his fruit basket is now just hanging out of his hockey pants.
Jesus.
I start uncontrollably laughing. And of course he scores. Never had somebody come down on a breakaway, show me their boys, and then score a goal. It was the greatest goal ever.
I do have a good cup story though.
Yes.
So one year I'm playing, right? And, you know, I was a short, fat kid. So you have to get a lot of stuff that are like, you know, like I had to get like an extra large jock strap.
Okay.
But the cup is much too bigger for me, right? Yeah. The cup is like massive. So so I go to like a practice and then I get like a rash. You know when like your skin kind of rubs away?
Yeah.
Right? So they'd been rubbing against the side of the cup. So right in between like my two legs, right? It's just like raw skin, right?
Red,
right?
I call it the chub rub.
Chub rub. That's what we call it in football.
Okay, yeah.
This is, I'm only like 13, so I'm about to go in high school. So I'm not quite familiar with chub rub yet, right? So then, you know, my brother played sports and everything. I mean, even my sister played on some teams. So there's always like athletic tape and stuff in my house. And there's that first aid spray. So I'm like, oh, I'll just spray that on it.
No.
Yes. I mean, the worst burn ever. And that's when I realized that stuff's for like a bruise or something. It's not for like open wounds.
No, it's like remember when you get a sunburn and you put that stuff that's supposed to help cool the sunburn off, and what it does is actually just burn the living hell out of you.
Oh, dude, I mean, I remember that pain being so intense.
Bro.
Yeah.
I remember, chub rub stories here on the Megacast. Going to Disneyland, and I believe it was with Sid. Might have been I'm positive.
Shout out to Boxer Briefs, by the way, for kind of putting an end to chub rub.
Right. This is before I was doing the boxer briefs. I was just boxers. And we went and we had to walk a mile to get to Disneyland from our hotel.
All right.
Well, at this time, I was probably at my heaviest or close to my heaviest, about 270.
All right.
And I'm walking. Thighs are a lot thicker and they're still thick from playing a lot of hockey. So they're always been like my legs just always didn't really lose a lot of the weight because there's a lot of muscle down there, Ted.
Yeah, man.
Maybe not, but there's a love muscle. So as we're walking, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm burning down there. Like, I've just completely did what you did. Like, you know, just rubbed it raw.
Yeah.
So we stop at a store and I get some Vaseline. And
all right.
I'm like, all right, I'm going to just put a little jug and I'm going to put it on and just kind of help do the gliding. So I kind of snuck in a corner and put it on and bought the jar. And then I put the jar in my cargo pants pocket.
All right.
Back before cargo pants were not cool. Get to Disneyland. I had no idea at the time that they do a security check. And you have to empty out your pockets.
Yeah.
Well, you know how weird it is when you're emptying out your pockets?
Oh, she doesn't know you have the Vaseline on you.
Well, my wife does.
All right.
Or a girlfriend at the time. But the employee does not. So I'm pulling it out. I'm like, and I'm just like looking at them. And I'm like, yeah, I'm the guy that has a lubricant in my pocket. And so I'm trying to explain it. I don't know why. My wife, she's dying because she's like, you don't need to volunteer this information because I'm like, I
got chub rub.
Right.
Leave me alone.
You know, my thighs are really thick. And this has been a mile walk. And the lady's like, mm-hmm. This is not so embarrassing.
Yeah, and that's one of those things too. Like, there's no way to explain it to people. Number one, it's embarrassing. But number two, it hurts so bad.
Right, I'm not up to no good. I have chub rub, lady.
And once you've gotten to the point where you've rubbed it kind of raw and you have the chub rub, there's nothing you can do.
And it never got better in Disneyland because you're doing all the water rides.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Sting City.
Yeah, sometimes, dude, like, sometimes at Meltdown, if I spend the whole day, like, hours on end on the river and getting in and out of the water.
Yeah.
Because, like, bathing suits just have that little catch thing.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, boxer briefs. Like, as soon as I get back to camp, I'm like, all right, I'm putting on regular shorts and boxer briefs.
Right, I need to feel normal down there.
Yeah, or I'm going to be hurting tomorrow.
Exactly. I don't need the chub rub.
Freshman in JV football, before, in 2 days, before practice, I always had to go, remember Kramer that used to make all the products back in the day, like Kramer tape?
Yeah, yeah.
So they had one just called strawberry ointment. And I would have to go in the morning time and get a tongue depressor full of the strawberry ointment so I could go practice.
Oh, Jesus. All right, well, we're going to get out of here. Let's get 10 push-ups. Thank you guys, as always, for listening. Next week, I believe, we'll be as close to 100% mentally as we can.
Yeah.
So expect better next week.
I think it's pretty good.
I felt like we got through this.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. Yesterday, I was like, I don't know if I could do a podcast. Because yesterday doing the Migs cast was impossible. Like, I actually got out in the middle of the podcast when we had a band in. So I had a half a second to take a pause so we could tear some stuff down. I left the studio to sit down because I was like, I'm positive I'm going to pass out if I stay in this room any longer.
Dude, I had a local fighter in. Uh-huh. What was his name? Matt Coble, right?
Okay.
So he came in. People will hear this tomorrow. He is awesome. Super interesting dude. Uh-huh. Been to
Boxer
Burning.
Or MMA guy?
MMA fighter.
Nice.
Right? So we finished the segment.
Heavyweight or?
155er.
Okay.
And he's like, I didn't talk too much today. And I was like, no, you were perfect for today.
Yeah, I needed you.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. I know that feeling. I was glad we had a band for that reason, too. I'm like, let's play one of your songs.
Get in there. Mix it up.
Yeah, I'm going to just zone out and listen. I mean, granted, it was a great song, but I was like, I need to zone out and just listen. Talking is difficult. All right. You know what also is difficult? Push-ups. But we're going to do them.
Yeah.
So, Mega Family, you can find us on Twitter, at the Megacast. Get 10 to get your heart racing, your blood pumping, and your brain
functioning.
Forgot to do that earlier.
We didn't do that in the beginning. All right, you're right. We're not 100%.
Yeah, we're not even 70%. Thank you for listening. We do appreciate that. All right, Mega Family. Ted, it's always fun.
Yeah, I liked that beat hit. You went faster. I was like, oh, man.
I'm like, feeling this. This is not a good song to do push-ups to.
Oh.
Thanks for listening. And like we mentioned last week, be a savage.
Be a savage.
We were this past weekend.